On the show today, we have Member Access Planning's Robert Long talking about revolving credit card debt. So check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. Robert Long, or Bob Long, from Member Access Planning. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you.
Good, good. Happy, I was thinking today was Friday, but it's not. Well, happy Thursday to you.
It is Thursday. We're one day closer. And and at least here from my office, it's a spectacular day, so I'm happy about that. We've got some chilly weather here in Denver, Colorado this spring. So.
Oh, yeah. You guys had some snow, like, what, 2 weeks ago or something like that? It's crazy weather you guys are having.
quite uncanny, for sure.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, hopefully you guys are set and ready for summer. Beautiful in that part of the world, for sure. And we're talking about something equally cool here, revolving credit card debt. So can you give us a quick, just before we get started with the questions, give us a quick 411 on revolving credit card debt, just for those out there who want to get a refresher course real quick.
Yeah, so revolving credit is, you know, think about it in terms of it's a business line for the credit union. Mm-hmm. And from our perspective, it really is a revolve, it's really part of the lending portfolio. And so as we think about credit cards, credit card debt management, all those kinds of things that come along with proper lending, one of the keys that I would say that most credit unions sometimes get caught up in is it a card product? Mm-hmm. Is it a lending product? And how should we think about it in terms of ongoing management?
Right.
And in my years of experience, I'll say, Mike, that really it should be classified as a lending product that has a card attribute to it.
Right. Right. Okay. Fair enough. So what are the pros and cons for both banks and credit unions in this case, and consumers out there, or members for credit union members? So what are the pros and cons for these two parties?
Yeah, so I think there's depends on how you want to look at the portfolio.
Okay.
So from a pros perspective, credit unions have a lot going for them as far as knowledge of their member, understanding member behavior, and a lot of those kind of characteristics that are make them unique in the financial services marketplace. And they can really take that and leverage it from my perspective anyway, they can really take that and leverage that from a new member acquisition perspective. They can look at it from a profitability of a member perspective.
Mm-hmm.
They can look at it from a lending growth perspective. So there's a lot of different ways that they can look at how they can take that portfolio and really grow it and manage it put the proper tools around that,
right,
within their confines. On the bad side, right? The problem with revolving credits, and particularly for most consumers, by the way, the average is about $5,500 in credit card debt.
Goodness.
According to cards.com. I looked it up this morning.
Oh,
think about that. That's a lot of debt.
Yeah, it is.
And that's the con. And so it's almost too easy as a vehicle to swipe your card or insert your card now with EMB.
Mm-hmm.
You walk good, and then you go to the next place, and the next thing you know, this concept of revolving credit can start to grow.
Mm-hmm.
It can start to grow out of, and it's just almost too easy. So from a an overall perspective, what I like to look at it and the strategy I've kind of put into place over the 20 plus years in the payments marketplace is the concept of let your transactors transact.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, those use their card, let them use their card, but incent them to use the card the way they should be using the card.
Right.
In other words, leverage for things like day-to-day purchases, providing them some rewards and some reward benefits and things of that nature, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes this particular member wants to use the card, and those that are revolvers, let those revolvers revolve, but do it in a way that has the right financial controls, the right fence posts,
mm-hmm,
if you will,
mm-hmm,
guideposts, tied to the portfolio. And we can talk about that too as you'd like.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that kind of goes into my next question here. So how does revolving credit and debt affect one's credit score? And then why does it matter?
Well, that's a great question. And that's one of the biggest potential issues in the revolving credit world,
mm-hmm,
is that these lines are available to us. And because there's so much consumer-based marketing tied to that acquisition of that member's usage, and again, it's not just credit unions versus credit unions or credit unions versus banks. It's really community credit unions versus these big behemoths like Chase or Wells or US 4 or others.
Right.
And they're coming up with such great ideas of, you know, swipe your card and get, you know, 2 points or 5 points, or do a balance transfer and get, you know, this amount of rewards, and you'll be in Hawaii in no time.
Yeah.
All those kind of incentives are really kind of scary. And so when you think about it in terms of financial responsibility, so for the credit unions that I've seen very successful over the years, is they put the right controls around thinking about the lines of credit, mm-hmm. and they think about a strategy. So they actually create, if you will, a P&L, a business, around not only the card programs themselves, but also then the tangentials that kind of come along with it. So the right writing capabilities with the CLO organization, or the right marketing strategy with the CMO organization, or the right retail distribution model within the branch network.
Mm-hmm.
And they create business around it, and then they have things like, they have, if you will, different goals, different missions around how they're going to leverage the product,
yeah.
all the way down to board-level reporting, and also, if you will, think about it in terms of managing the goals and the expectations around those programs. On the debt management side, as they start to see clients, unfortunately, get too much debt in that revolving credit world,
yeah.
the key is the right, if you will, financial tools. And as compared to, you know, I'll say 25 years ago, I'll be polite to myself when I got into this business, there were not as many controls or availability that you have today in the internet.
Oh, yeah,
world.
You're right, yeah.
There's lots of different schools, there's lots of different third parties that are for-profit and not-for-profit mm-hmm, that can mm-hmm. help consumers based with their credit debt needs, but also for the credit unions themselves, they also have these tools that can be leveraged not only by these third parties, but also from their current vendors, from their current internal marketing programs that they can create. But they can actually create a right marketing educational program around their lending portfolio that really helps provide.
Yeah, that would be huge. Because as you're talking, I'm thinking, you know, most if not all credit cards have limits on them. But when you have a bunch of credit cards, you know, those limits become, I don't know, they just become wishy-washy, for lack of a more technical term, because you can add up a whole lot of debt on many credit cards. I'm thinking if there's some sort of tool or alert or something on there that would keep people from spending too much on these credit cards to keep that debt at a minimum. I know we might be going a little off topic here, but as you're talking, that kind of popped into my head. If there's some sort of tool, because we have a lot of those types of tools now, in other fashions on cards, so, you know, like transfer, yeah. you know, like travel and all that type of stuff. But it'd be kind of cool to kind of have some sort of cap or a warning or an alert or something like that. Hey, you're spending way too much this month. Hold back. Let's bring back the reins.
There are tools. There's Experian, TransUnion, a lot of the Equifax, a lot of these service bureaus do have the capabilities to provide different levels of support and service to the end member.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be careful. And when you think about, right, if you will, what creates a good credit score, kind of tailoring to kind of your last question into this one,
yeah.
think about terms of, if I can understand that my payment history, that my amount of debt that I have, the number of outstanding revolving lines mm-hmm, that I have, mm-hmm. the recent activity, all create kind of a credit risk and a credit risk score. And if I can monitor that, in a lot of cases for free nowadays,
yeah.
I can monitor those kinds of things on a day-in and day-out basis. That's part of that whole member-based education.
Right.
If they can use those two strategies together, Mike, it's a win-win. And those that are educated, I would say, in the revolving credit space understand that. But those that aren't, this is a true opportunity for member credit unions to really get with their end members yep. and really provide that kind of proper
totally
education.
Agree there. Totally agree. And this kind of, again, I mean, we're talking about credit, I mean, with national credit card debt at all-time high, you mentioned it, the average of $5,500 for the average per. I mean, that's an average. My gosh, that's just really scary. So what are some best practices or tools? We're talking about tools. Again, this kind of segues from the last your last response for those looking to reduce their revolving credit or debit. So this is kind of actually kind of what we already talked about here. So if you have anything else to add, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, for our member credit unions, right, that are out there listening into this, you know, ask yourselves if you're going through your, if you'll reissue process with the credit card that you have outstanding to your members. And think about in terms of how often do you if you will, risk assess that member at the time of renewal.
Mm-hmm.
And create some best practices around If you think about it in terms of if the average credit card debt is $5,500 per plastic, right? You know, those revolvers that are out there.
Right.
Again, according to creditcard.com, then the question then becomes, as I issue credit, what is the proper mix? What is the proper line amount? How should I think about issuing those plastics?
Right.
And that's where it gets a little tricky. Mm-hmm. And that's where the organization really needs to think about, well, do I start with a $2,500 line based upon this type of paper? Yeah. So A plus and A paper gets this line, mm-hmm. you know, gets this line, C paper gets this line. Do I get into the secured credit card space? Do I not? Do I stay with a fixed rate versus a, you know, variable rate? All those kinds of questions come into play around that strategy, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And our tools absolutely in place behind the scenes for issuers today that can really leverage as part of that underwriting capability.
Right. Yeah.
So leverage technology, understand what's going on in the marketplace, and put the proper procedures in place. So, as an example, underwrite your current members with their credit cards at the time of renewal as a simplistic kind of concept to start with.
Yeah, the reason why I'm kind of going down this rabbit hole is because we all go to these conferences and we hear payments people and we hear that I can't remember what the statistic is, but it's a large percentage of Americans who don't have a savings account. They can't, if some emergency happens, if their refrigerator goes out, their car breaks down, they can't pay for it. So why in the world are they having, you know, credit cards and stuff? I mean, that's granted that can save them, but it's also going to get them deeper in the hole as well. So for folks out there who are having trouble saving, credit cards a scary thing to have.
It can be. It can be. And the a lot of the assessment around those cards that get issued to members within the credit union, they really need to think through. I remember back in my member desk days and sitting there on a branch and opening new accounts and sitting there thinking, boy, this person just got declined because of a bad FICO score, a bad credit score. And now it's a matter of, okay, what are alternative products and services that I can potentially offer or provide to this? Be a start as a savings tool?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm not the prepaid end all, but as an example, maybe start with a prepaid product or maybe start with a secured credit card product. Or types of tools that are out there that are financial payment tools, so you can still help them and then over a period of time monitor them, and then if they achieve the proper underwriting guidelines, then potentially offer them a smaller line of credit, as part of that strategy.
Yep, indeed. So when should you start using a credit card, and how should this usage change over time? Because I remember a lot of my friends, I remember my friend when we first got to college and you get all these credit card offers and then you go crazy. I had a few friends who went nutty with their credit cards and their parents went nutty as well when they got the bill. So, I mean, that's kind of scary. But, I mean, I think most of us now are a little bit more well-educated to, like, keep under control there. But there's still a few out there. So how does this kind of evolve over time?
So let me give you an example. So I started, I have two boys who are both in college, and then my girl's still in high school.
Okay.
Both of my boys got a $500 student visa card off to college.
Okay.
I coached them, but I went down to my credit union here in Highlands Ranch, Colorado, and talked to them, and the advice they gave me was really kind of twofold. One, you start with a co-sign, but they're the primary on the account. Okay, so they're actually the one that's building the credit, not me as the secondary on the account.
Right.
So they're doing several things. One, they issue the credit. It's a small line of credit. They watch the payment history. They watch the revolving debt that's outstanding, right, all those kind of things I went into a few minutes ago. And as that continues to grow, then and that gets reported to bureaus, then, to your point, right, all of a sudden my son, who's now going into his senior year of college, he's now getting credit card offers from from Chase.
Everybody.
And from these others. I said, Barrett, if you want to apply, go ahead and apply, but you're probably going to be declined because you don't have the credit history or the actual income to substantiate additional debt.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of a learning curve, and of course he applied, of course got declined. shocker.
It's an education.
But back to your question around when do we get started, the question is, or as the process, in my opinion, believes you start young. You start with the proper educational understanding. You have your bumps in the road, but if you start young and you start in a proper way, then a credit card leads to an auto loan, and then an auto loan leads to a whatever it might be, a mortgage-backed loan, or whatever it might be. But that's how you kind of start and you kind of grow. And as you kind of establish that payment history, the debt being paid off, you know, those other types of accountability that are tied to, you know, credit risk and the activity based, then the next thing you know, you got a 750 plus, you know, credit score.
There you go. That's what we all want, for sure. For sure.
Paper, baby. There we go.
That's right. All right. Well, this is cool. I mean, this conversation could have gone in many, many directions. And I know you got a job to do. And so I don't want to hold you up too long. But anything else to add here, Bob? I mean, this is such a great topic that, again, could go down many avenues because it's really a hot topic right now. So it's good that we chatted about it here for a few minutes.
I agree. If I might just close,
sure.
You know, Mike,
sure.
And just three thoughts. One, look at it as a business, right? Credit card lending product. It's part of the CLO organization, but it's also a payment product. So create a P&L, establish the right criteria, establish the goals of the program, report it to the board, and actually make it as an annual kind of metric kind of strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a strategy around the credit program that lets your transactors transact, those that want to use the card for day-in and day-out purchases, that want to buy the gas, or the dinner at the fast food restaurant, let them transact and reward them or incent them to do that because you need that interchange income or non-interest income.
Mm-hmm.
And on the lending side, those revolvers, make that revolving credit line the most profitable portion of the asset that you have on your books. And from a lending portfolio, somewhere in the 10% range of your overall lending portfolio is really about where credit cards should be. So make it a business and make it profitable.
Right on, right on. And before we go, where can we find out more information on member access planning? Where can we find out more about your organization?
So www.memberaccessprocessing.com.
Processing, my apologies. Gotcha.
No worries. Memberaccessprocessing.com.
All right. Well, we'll put that in the show notes so people can get right to it. And I thank you very much for your time today, Bob, and look forward to another chat down the line. This was great. Love it.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Anytime, sir.